You know, I've listened to a lot of my colleagues express disappointment with the vote that we're about to take. Well, I have some disappointments too. You know, I'm disappointed that we were not able to include indexing in this bill because it's taken us 3 or 4 years to have the courage to pass this bill. And now we'll have to rely really on the courage of future legislators that will join this body. Some of us will be here, some of us won't be here. I'm also disappointed that we didn't have a more progressive tip wage in this bill. But what I'm mostly disappointed about is that this bill was really has now become an election tool rather than a true human and civil rights issue. But with all of these disappointments, I know that this increase will help nearly 500,000 Marylanders who deserve to have us speak up for them. You know, over the interim, and I want to thank folks like UFCW, the Raise Maryland campaign, and all those who have worked tirelessly on this issue, the NAACP, and also the business community. But over the interim, I had a chance to shop with minimum wage workers. And it was a true eye-opening experience. I shared this with my committee, and I want to share it with those of you who are in the House this morning. I shopped with families. And I know that some of you are saying that people making minimum wage aren't raising families. That's simply not true. I know that some of you think that the minimum wage was never intended to be a lifetime wage and people weren't intended to stay on minimum wage for a long time, but guess what? It's happening. So there's something about intent, but then there's something called reality. And the reality is far too many people, not young people, but people who are well into their 20s, 30s, 40s, and above, are working for minimum wage and raising families. So when I went shopping with these minimum wage workers, what they told me was that they really, really want to purchase healthy, nutritious food for their children. And actually, one woman brought two of her children with her. And they told me how much they love fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. But guess what? Their mother can't afford to purchase it for them. And so when they're lucky, they can buy one apple, one fresh apple, and split it between two children. Those are real choices that families are making. There was another worker who told me, you know what, she purchases meat, but she has to split the meat, a portion that most of us would eat as a single person, she has to split it between four people. And to supplement those meals, she has to supplement it with starchy foods that may not be healthy, but at minimum, her children believe that their bellies are full. And so when you really think about what we're doing here, so we're providing an opportunity for people to live what Martin Luther King called a tolerable life. We want them to, at minimum, be able to provide the necessary food, the necessary resources for themselves and for their families. You know, I want those workers to one day be able to buy grapes, which they can't afford because grapes are like $2.95 a pound. And so if you're thinking about buying grapes for a family, it's just impossible because you're going to spend $7 to $10. It's not happening for people who work on minimum wage. And so in a state like Maryland, a state that is it's the wealthiest state in this nation, and we pride ourselves on saying that we're the wealthiest state in this nation. But guess what? There's a cost to living in the wealthiest state in this nation. And that cost cannot be absorbed by the current minimum wage. And so all we're doing with this bill, and hopefully another bill that you might see, is we're giving people an opportunity to increase their purchasing power so that they can live in this state, so that they can purchase the necessary resources for themselves and for their families in this state, and so that they can, again, like the rest of us, make choices about their health, about their nutrition, all of the things that we want people to do. We want people to be able to provide healthy options for their children. That's what we're going to be voting on some bills this year to provide healthier options for children. And this bill is about doing that. And it's about finally recognizing that every one of us deserves a raise at some point. And if the employer won't give it to them, it's up to us as a legislative body to do the right thing. So I urge a green vote on this bill. Thank you.
Gentlelady from the Eastern Shore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We heard an overview of the bill today, and you heard about many of the changes, many of the exceptions, many of the carve-outs, which to me, of their very nature, is an admission of what this legislation will do to our small businesses in this state. We also had very lengthy discussions about competitiveness, and I want to thank the good delegate from Frederick County who spoke earlier so eloquently and has worked so hard on this issue to highlight that point. By example, we had the so-called Six Flags Amendment, because Six Flags is located 90 minutes from its competitor. And that's very real. I'm not trying to diminish how real that is. But for many counties in this state, it is even more real than that, especially when you look at rural Maryland. Two of my favorite examples, Del Mar in Wicomico County, which literally sits on the border of Delaware and Maryland, or Penmar in Washington County, which straddles Pennsylvania and Maryland. That, my friends, is real competitiveness and a real disadvantage. And again, every county in our state experiences that. Now, I believe that every person in this General Assembly wants to help the citizens of Maryland. We just disagree on how to do it. The good news is that there are alternatives to this. We passed a bill earlier, the Earned Income Tax Credit Program, and while I wish it had been in its original form, that is a great example. So is lowering the income tax. Those are policies that would provide real financial freedom for the citizens of our state without interfering with labor markets, without reducing jobs for young people, without eliminating entry-level positions, without harming our small businesses, and allow for reinvestment in our economy. If we had a good business climate in this state, we would have more jobs and we would have more opportunities for people to move up. This, by contrast, is a 40% increase in labor costs, which to me is nothing different than a tax on jobs. This is a tax on people that are trying to provide employment to our citizens. It is a job killer, and I would bet you that if you go back to your districts and you ask your constituents if they feel that they're better off today than they were before, are they better off now than they were in 2007 before all the tax increases went into effect? The minimum wage will do little to nothing to help them, but we have other opportunities that would be more productive in providing financial freedom for our citizens. So I would urge a red vote on this bill.
Mr. Speaker.